You're listening to the audio production of Auschwitz Lullaby by Mario Escobar, published by Thomas Nelson and read by Haley Cresswell.
The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of beauty is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, but indifference between life and death. Elie Wiesel. An hour after leaving Krakow, our convoy stopped at a large station. The sign gave the name of the place, Auschwitz. That doesn't mean anything to us. We'd never heard of the place. Miklos Niesli. One required an extraordinary moral force to teeter on the brink of the Nazi infamy and not plunge into the pit. Yet I saw many internees cling to their human dignity to the very end. The Nazis succeeded in degrading them physically, but they could not debase them morally. Olga Lingel. Author's note. Auschwitz Lullaby has been the hardest book of my entire professional career to write, but not because of any formal difficulties with the writing or quandaries about where the story was headed. What worried me was not being able to capture the greatness of Helena Hahnemann's soul within the lines of these pages. Human beings are momentary breaths in the midst of the hurricane of our circumstances, but the story of Helena reminds us that we can be the masters of our own destiny, even though the entire world is literally against us. I cannot say if this book has taught me to be a better person, but certainly to offer fewer excuses for my errors and weaknesses. When Larry Downs, my friend and publisher, heard Helena's story, he said the world needed to know it. But that does not depend on us. It's up to you, dear reader, and your love for truth and justice. Help me to tell the world the story of Helena Hahnemann and her 5 children. Madrid, March 7th, 2015, just over 70 years after the liberation of Auschwitz. Prologue. March 1956, Buenos Aires. I held my breath during the airplane's steep ascent. I'd hardly even stepped outside the capital city the entire 6 years I've spent in Argentina. The thought of being cooped up in such a small space for so many hours made my chest hurt. But as the plane's nose evened out, so did my breathing, and I calmed down. When the attractive blonde came up and asked if I wanted anything to drink, I told her tea would be fine. For a second, I thought about having something stronger for my nerves, but since my stay in Auschwitz, I had snubbed alcoholic beverages. It was a disgrace to see my colleagues drunk day in and day out, and Commandant Rudolf Höss barely batting an eye. It was true that in those final months of the war, desperation had overtaken many men. Some had lost their wives and children in the barbaric Allied air raids. Still, a German soldier, and even more so a member of the SS, should remain collected, regardless of the circumstances. The stewardess carefully placed my hot tea on the tray table, and I flashed her a smile. She had perfect features. Her lips were just wide enough, her eyes a bright, intense blue, her cheeks small and rosy, the ideal Aryan face. Then I turned my eyes to my old black leather case. I had packed a couple of biology and genetics texts to make the trip go faster. I cannot explain why, but at the last minute, I also decided to grab a couple of the old notebooks from the Siegunerlager kindergarten in Auschwitz-Birkenau. Years before, I had put them with my reports on genetic studies carried out in Auschwitz, but I had never gone back to read through them. The notebooks were the diaries of a German woman I met in Auschwitz, Helena Hahnemann. Frau Hahnemann and her family, and the war, were now part of a distant past I preferred not to dwell in, the years when I was a young SS officer and everyone knew me as Herr Dr. Mengele. I reached over and picked up the first notebook. The cover was completely faded, the corners were stained with dried splotches, and the paper had taken on that faded yellow color of old stories no one cares about anymore. Swallowing my first sip of tea, I slowly opened to the first page. The long, slanting hand of Helena Hahnemann, the director of the Gypsy Nursery School at Auschwitz, took me back to Birkenau, to Section B2.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?